Come. Let's get it over with. Stop.
Now bleed with me.
Of our Lord 2023, Patriots of Edmonton, Alberta, starving and outnumbered, charge the fields in the offensive zone. They fought like warrior poets. They fought like Oilers. And though they have only won part of their freedom, we honor them. And we live in hope. On a world spinning its way to damnation amidst the fear and despair of a broken human race, who's left to fight for what's good and pure? Marianne Williamson. And we are, as well. Hello, everyone. This is a very special, very inebriated edition of Handkerchief Dynasty / Night Rule / whatever the fuck else. For those of you who are not Oilers fans who are listening to this, you should know that we were eliminated from the playoffs by the Vegas Golden Knights after a torrid, tumultuous second-round series. So all the Oilers fans listening out there already know, but we're dealing with some sadness right now. So that may as well be one of the subjects of our podcast. You know, sadness... sadness... it's one of those emotions. You know, it's one of those states of mind. One of those mental states that can go in a lot of different directions. You know, you can take that sadness and you can turn it into despair and powerlessness. You can turn it into anger. You can turn it into rage. You can turn it into this uncontrollable pit of passion inside of you, you know, that governs you, that rules you. But that's not the only choice. That's not the only choice. You can choose to take that sadness and you can say, hey, sadness, I'm feeling you. I'm fucking with you, bro. I am fucking with that sadness. I'm going to be real. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to say, hey, I'm really fucking sad the Oilers got eliminated from the playoffs, bro. But I'm also gonna say, hey, sadness, let's move through. Let's move through it. I mean, because that's the better choice. I know nothing. I know absolutely fucking nothing. I'm the quintessential ultra crepidarian, okay? I'm a total fraud. But one thing I do know, or one thing I would at least pretend to know, it's that moving through the sadness way better. Saying to yourself, hey, I'm going to think about how sad I am while I wash the dishes, or walk along while taking in a beautiful sunset, or listening to a song, watching a movie. Just feel that shit, man. I mean, it's hardcore, but... and it's intense as hell. But feeling the feeling... always, 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 always better than ignoring that feeling and letting it reside unperturbed in your subconscious until it acts out in all kinds of disgusting and macabre fashions, a la any elected Republican in the United States Congress. You know, C, for reference. If you want to know what it's like, see what happens when you don't deal with the sadness, look at any American Republican congressman, okay? You don't want to be like that, bro. The Oilers are going to be fine. I actually think they're a much better team than when they went into the conference finals, and I don't give a shit about the one-round difference. You're going to give a shit about the one-round difference? We were one of the last standing teams amongst the happy, happy few, okay? And we're not blowing this shit up. We're not Toronto. We're not the Toronto fucking Maple Leafs. We're not stupid enough to blow the damn shit up for the sake of fucking sinking it. Okay? We need to stand pat. We need to move through the sadness. And we need to adapt to and aspire to and summon the ambition to create a team system better suited for the playoffs. That's all we have to do. Okay? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying. I mean, you're comprehending the vocal symbols emanating from my diseased maw. I mean, really, like, at this point, I mean, we're dealing with... okay, it's the summer now, okay? All of us, none of us wanted it to become summer. We all were hoping and praying deep inside of ourselves that summer would not start for another several weeks, perhaps when the Edmonton Oilers won the Stanley Cup. I mean, they're a contender right now. We all know they were the number one predicted team, vis-a-vis at least having the highest percentage chance. But when you get to the final, like, eight teams, the final 10 teams, the final six teams, I mean, are you really kidding me? Like, it's a 32-team league now, I'm pretty sure. I'm checking with the basic math robot. Okay, the basic math robot is apparently working really hard on some long division and is unavailable. Like, whatever, man. I mean, like, last year, the year before that, the year before that, my preferred, my, I mean, it wasn't really my preferred response, but my response, although it was very unpreferred, was to be really fucking depressed, dejected, pissed off, annoyed, frustrated, you know, kind of like living your life walking around as though there's some kind of like undefined, unspoken, uncalled out moral failing that you have to, like, you know, deal with. Like, the Oilers losing in the second round is not a moral failing, everybody, okay? I know we all are trained in our minds to think, oh, the Oilers didn't win the Stanley Cup this year. It's a moral failing. Let's define all the different ways in which they failed and could possibly improve, blah, 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 blah. No, no. The way they can improve is, one, having hope in the team they've assembled, which is a great fucking team. You know, they're obviously not going to be able to bring everyone back, but they should be aiming to bring almost everyone back, and they should not be fucking jockeying to trade anybody right now. Because we got a pretty special team right now, writ large. Not only the core, but, like, are we going to find a better third liner than Nick Bjugstad? I mean, maybe he could get more minutes. I don't know if we're going to. I don't know if we're going to. I don't know if we're going to, you know, any player. Just tell me, are the replacements going to be that better? You know? Is the replacement for Tom Clancy's Derek Ryan going to play with more character than Tom Clancy's Derek Ryan has played for us the last year or plus? I mean, the duration of the contract. Tom Clancy's Derek Ryan, unlike the Amazon series, which quite frankly I totally skipped because it looked like it was pretty weak, in spite of the fact that there's several actors that worked on it that I have a deep respect for, Maybe I'll reconsider it. There's like literally at least definitely two, maybe three supporting actors that I would watch that show just to watch. But as opposed to Amazon's Jack Ryan, Tom Clancy's Derek Ryan on the Edmonton Oilers was riveting, was exciting, it was like a thriller. Like, unlike pretty much any Jack Ryan property since, I'm gonna say, Patriot Games. I mean, Clear and Present Danger, Patriot Games, the series, at least cinematically, peaked very early. I'm just gonna say it. I'm sorry, Ben Affleck and Morgan Freeman, Some of All Fears. I'm sure it was great. I didn't see it. I'm sure if I saw it, I would comment on it more. The guy from The Office, Jim from The Office, he's married to Emily Blunt. Emily Blunt, I will say, I have tremendous respect for you as an actor. You are completely legitimate. I didn't really watch The Office, Jim. I don't know your actual name. Oh, hold on. Maybe I can actually pull his name out. John Krasinski. Yeah, he has that super Polish name. You know what, John Krasinski? I never really watched The Office. I haven't seen either. I haven't seen A Quiet Place or A Quiet Place Part 2. I haven't seen Amazon's Jack Ryan. So let me just say, let's collaborate together on a project. I'll write a part for you, and then we'll talk. We'll say Emily Blunt, totally respect you. All that besides, Tom Clancy's Derek Ryan on the Oilers, like, I'm sorry, but are we gonna get a better guy to be on the team for like whatever 1.5 million next year? I don't think so, okay? We're gonna trade yams, and we're gonna find another guy that ignites not only the entire fucking lineup, but the entire cultural fucking zeitgeist of Oilersdom as much as Kyler Yamamoto. Yeah, he's getting paid like a little bit too much, but like, are we really gonna trade him and miss up the chance to sign him for a more commensurate salary cap number the year following? I don't know. Maybe they're gonna trade Yamamoto. Maybe they're not gonna try and re-sign Bukestad or Ryan. You know, maybe they think that whoever they can roll the dice on besides those motherfuckers who, quite frankly, were legitimately the most legitimate fucking like depth Oilers players that we've seen in fucking 10 plus, 20 plus years. Like, we've all been sitting here for literally 20 years being like, oh my God, we need better third and fourth liners. Oh my God, oh my God. We really need better third and fourth liners. And then after fucking 15, 20 years of wandering the desert looking for a drink of water, we finally get Derek Ryan. We finally get a Kyler Yamamoto. Yeah, he's overpaid, but like, as if you don't want that motherfucker in your on your third line, and he plays up once in a while. Like, give me a break. And then motherfucking Foegele, everyone's just acting as though, well, we just could trade Foegele. It's like, dude, Foegele has played hard every shift for like a calendar year. Like, yeah, he hasn't exactly like scored the lights out, but as if fucking Warren Foegele has not played as hard as fuck for like a calendar year straight, and we're gonna fucking like not credit him with that over like 750K? Are you kidding me? Is this what's going on? We need to stand pat for the most part, if possible. I don't think it's gonna happen. Maybe it's not possible. I'm not a salary cap guru. I'm neither Ken Holland nor Steve Staios nor Brad Holland. You know, I've never been someone who was, you know, worthy enough of a name like Brad, a name like Ken, a name like Steve. I only have the name, I mean, it's really like more of an appellation, the secret professor. By the way, the word appellation, for those of you that don't know, spoiler alert, it just means a name. It's just another fucking fancy way of saying name if you're a fucking sociopath like me, okay? You gotta move through the sadness, okay? Use the fancy words to move through the sadness. Use music, use exercise, use exposing yourself to nature every single day as though it was as important as the air you breathe. Okay? And also, don't be afraid to fucking like cut shit out in your life. If there's like a bunch of bullshit, like if you're watching, I don't know, CW shows 8 to 10 hours every day by whatever happenstance, and you're not enjoying it, it's not doing it for you. They're not the CW shows that you really enjoy. Nevertheless, you're watching them for an incredibly ridiculous amount of time. Feel free to cut that shit out. You know, find a beautiful book. We're in the summer months here, people. It's time to be inspired by all the possibilities. Everything that comes into your mind when Oilers hockey is not a pressing matter or pressing concern, you know, on your consciousness. And I really want us to all really embrace the possibilities. I don't want us to talk about our favorite pops or our favorite sandwiches her favorite chips. Although I will say, Tom Gazzola saying that putting the Cool Ranch Doritos in the freezer before eating them was a really interesting entry in the favorite chip category of summertime sports talk. Really hope he stays with the highlights. I think everyone should, every person who has a chance should basically try and look like a Backstreet Boy, if at all possible. I'm really disappointed because Kyle Kulinski did that. I think he recently was married. I think he's on his honeymoon now or some shit. So congratulations to Kyle and Crystal. But Kyle did like the Backstreet Boy thing with the highlights. And then recently, in the last few weeks at least, I don't really follow his channel that closely, Secular Talk, for those of you that don't know who I'm talking about. But he did away with the highlights. And it's like, dude, like if you're going to do the Backstreet Boy thing, like, give it at least a few months, you know. Don't give it like 90 days. Give it like 6 months. That being said, I need to turn on a fan, and we're gonna play a little song here. So let's enjoy a little musical interlude while I turn on the fan and mute myself. That'll be fun, don't you think? obviously Giorgio Moroder with Push It to the Limit and Chase. The vocals on that first track is by Paul Engman, obviously, for those of you not aware. On the Scarface soundtrack, directed by Brian De Palma, starring Al Pacino, F. Murray Abraham, Michelle Pfeiffer, Stephen Bauer, Mario Margolis, Richard Belzers in Scarface? Giorgio Moroder, I mean, we all have a lot more to learn from Monsieur Moroder. How do you say Mr. in Italian? Who cares? But we gotta push it to the limit, folks. We gotta push our hopes, our dreams, our ambitions, our ability to wake up every day as a conscious human being and not just give up the fuck up in the face of, let's be honest, a whole lot of bullshit. We gotta push that shit to the limit. Push it to the limit. Walk along the razor's edge. Don't look down. Just keep your head or you'll be fucking finished. I mean, like, let's all just try and be magnanimous beyond the limit. And for the 90% of people that don't know what the word magnanimous means, it's one of my favorite words. I learned it from Mad Men. I was watching an episode of Mad Men, and it came up in the dialogue on the show. And someone said, oh, I'm going to be magnanimous and say blah, 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 blah. And Don Draper, played by the illustrious John Hamm, said, well, that certainly is magnanimous. And then I looked at the other people in the room and in a way to say, oh, I know what magnanimous means. I definitely am not Googling it right now. Magnanimous is a great word because it's a very concentrated meaning. So the word magnanimous means when you're in a position of authority or power or control of some type and you choose to not be a fucking asshole. That's what magnanimous means. That's what magnanimity is. It's when you're in a position where you could be a fucking asshole. You could lay down the hammer and say, hey, I'm the boss. You were 3 minutes late. Fuck you. Or you could be magnanimous and you could say, hey, Edmonton Oilers, you got eliminated in game 6 of the second round this year after going to the conference finals the year before. And amidst this kind of cultural zeitgeist where the hopes and prayers of a generation lie upon your shoulders, or at the very least you've inspired the hopes and dreams of a generation. I'm going to be magnanimous and say, I don't really care. I don't really think we've taken a step back. I definitely don't think it's a step back. I think our team is better, and we just need to do what we can to be better. I think the existing team needs to adapt to a style perhaps slightly more commensurate with prospects for long-term playoff success. And for those of you that don't know what the word commensurate means, I learned it from an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm. Larry David was criticizing someone's apology, and he said, hey, I thought your apology was pretty shitty. I didn't think it was really commensurate with the offense. And I looked at everyone in the room and I said, I know what the word commensurate means, as I Googled it on my phone. And the word commensurate means in accordance with or appropriate for. So if I was a lawyer and I was being paid $10,000 a year, I would say, hey, motherfucker, that's totally incommensurate with my value. It's a fun word. Say it with me. Incommensurate. It's a fun word to pronounce. Eber. H-E-B-E-R-T. I mean, like, it's, I'm really enjoying it, actually. Like, every year when the Oilers get defeated, I mean, you know, they haven't won the cup in a little while, although I think it could happen pretty soon. It's usually my mind leaves my body, and I don't really have this kind of, like, spiritual metal. M-E-T-T-L-E. Jesus Christ. Let's just start a new fucking podcast. I'm going to call it The Word Nerd. It's going to be about being a nerd for words. I mean, what else is there to really say? You know, we got a long summer ahead. I'm kind of looking forward to the kind of freestyle summer content, because it is very freeing. It's like when you're like a woman in the 18th, or then, well, I mean, any century prior to the 20th, but let's just say the 19th century. And, you know, all of a sudden your like husband, who's from like a wealthy family, and he's kind of a dick, and he's a horrible lover, and he kind of like treats you like a exotic bird. You know, he dies, and then all of a sudden it's like, hey, whoa, holy shit, wait, I'm a married woman in the 19th century, my husband died. All of a sudden I actually have some fucking like freedom in my life. And it's a beautiful thing. I mean, keep that in mind, motherfuckers. I happen to know that 90% of the people listening to this, and I'm very proud of the 10%. Okay, I'm extremely proud of the 10%. But I happen to know that 90% of the people listening to this are cisgendered males. And just think about this, man. Like, think about the female Oilers fans out there. They have to face this heartbreak and this disappointment knowing that there's, like, literally not a woman on Earth who has any fucking stake in this enterprise. Okay? Like, it's all still just, like, a completely male-dominated spectacle to them. And you know, I mean, like, maybe that's not something they think about every day or every game, but, I mean, guys, can you imagine if you were, like, a WNBA fan and there wasn't, like, a single male involved at all in the WNBA and you followed it as closely as you do the Oilers?
Well, the men walked and smoked and argued more important matters. And incidentally decided our fates. If we didn't hate them too much to be curious about the world, we'd wonder what they'd had to say.
I'm deeply, profoundly, inexorably obsessed with Deadwood right now. I think it's now at the point where I'm just watching it in like a loop. This has only happened a few times. I remember it happened with Godfather 2 in like the mid-noughties. It was probably, I'm going to say, 2007, 2008. I had a DVD of Godfather 2 and a CRT TV and a PlayStation 2 Slim, the silver edition, which is a beautiful piece of hardware. And besides Godfather 2 on DVD, I had some Kurosawa, I had Peasant Vision, but there was a period of time for like months where I would just put on Godfather 2 at whatever point and just imbibe it like it was fucking manna from heaven. And I'm at that point now. I mean, it happened with Curb. It's happened with Peep Show, you know, musically there's a lot of examples, but right now it's Deadwood. I watched it originally, I don't know, I'm on like four or five. I'm on my fourth or fifth round now, and it's at the point now where if I choose to watch another TV show, you know, the new season of Succession is out. I'm completely primed and ready. I'm literally two clicks away from watching the new season of Succession, which is obviously fucking amazing. In spite of that, I'm watching Deadwood for like the fifth fucking time. I mean, like, as a good liberal, I feel a lot of conflict about the extreme racism depicted in it, you know, even just down to some of the character names. I mean, I feel I say as a good liberal, I don't actually consider myself a liberal, but I say as a good liberal in the sense of the grand liberal tradition of the last 100 years where people in positions of comfort look to others to validate them and give them meaning and make them feel better about themselves. So like as a shitty liberal in the 21st century, watching Deadwood and its circa 2005 era extreme fucking racism, you know, they wouldn't make that show now. They would be nowhere near, they wouldn't even fucking imagine making the show the way they did now. Even though, you know, the last bit of Deadwood, the movie came out in like 2019. It's interesting though. It's an interesting kind of Gordian knot to try and untie because it's an amazing show. And quite frankly, as much as the like racist vernacular might be extremely uncomfortable, you know, there's actually fucking like Chinese American characters in the show. There's actually, you know, there are black characters in the show. And like, I don't know, you know, Unforgiven being an exception, there's not a lot of Westerns that have those characters in them. And, you know, there's not a lot of Westerns that have like a disabled character in the show. There's not a lot of Westerns that have a female point of view. I don't know, it's gonna take me a little while to try and like deal with my liberal guilt over that shit. Because my liberal guilt is profound. Even though I'm a fucking Bolshevik, I still exist in the world, and the world global order has been liberalism for a long time. And I say that not as a critique of liberalism, because, I mean, quite frankly, most of the people that critique liberalism right now are fucking insane maniacs who are part of some fucking online cult. So I think it's better than that. But it's a little bit milquetoast. And for those of you that don't know what milquetoast is, it's both a delicious combination of milk and toast, and also it means when someone's fucking wishy-washy and kind of on the one hand this and the other hand that. Liberalism writ large has suffered from that. I would actually say the sorry state of NHL officiating is part of that same tradition. It's very much like, on the one hand this, on the other hand that. What I really want to say, though, writ large here is, you know, we're going to have a fun summer, everybody. You know, I want to hear your book recommendations. I want to hear your movie recommendations. I want to hear what inspires you. I want to hear what you're doing that's different, that's interesting, that's cool, now that you have this free time on your hands. I don't want to hear your thoughts on fucking Warren Fogel being a son of a bitch. Quite frankly, Warren Fogel's never done a fucking thing, as far as I'm concerned, other than being traded to a team he had no choice to be traded to, and then working his ass off the entire time. Did he score 50 goals? No. No, he did not. But Warren Fogel fucking played harder than you did, okay? Played harder than I did. I wasn't playing hard as Warren Fogel, okay? I wasn't playing hard as Kyler Yamamoto. I'm gonna go fucking read a book and get some sunshine and fucking try not to worry about the wildfires that are gonna engulf our entire fucking civilization, okay? Like, hope, okay? Hope, optimism, gratitude. Sometimes you have to be grateful for things in this life. And sometimes just taking that moment to say thank you, you know, if you're listening to an awesome Kraftwerk track and it's fucking doing its thing and you're fucking stoked and it's amazing and life is good, even though you don't believe in God, as I don't, I mean, like, not in the Judeo-Christian sense, certainly, or really like any other sense. I actually think any kind of orthodoxy vis-a-vis that subject is a poison chalice. It's a drink you drink from that poisons you. You know, like, it's like what's the proper way to say the letter R? Okay, we're in Canada, so we say R, mateys, R. Okay, take a breath. It's May. The Oilers have been eliminated. Who the fuck cares who wins the cup? Okay. We're going to have a great team next year who care about each other. And if we all work on a team together and care about each other, try a little bit harder, push it to the limit, I think things could be pretty good. I'm looking at the chronometer robot and he's telling me it's 149 Pacific Standard Time. So we're going to end it here. Hope you all enjoy your week. We'll check in again real soon. Hopefully we're going to be recording and talking a lot of bullshit throughout the summer. So look forward to that. And yeah, we'll end things off with a little Takanaka Masayoshi, Radio Rio. Raise your glass. Raise your glass. You know, don't look down at the mud. Look up at the stars, at least for like a week or two here. And then, you know, have a hot dog. It's the summertime. It's the summertime.